Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and Happy Epiphany. We celebrated yesterday the reality, the good news that Jesus Christ is the light to the nations, that the promises of God that he gave to the people of Israel are fulfilled in Jesus, and Jesus extends those promises to the whole world. Jesus is the one Savior of the world. The church exists to not only receive him, but to communicate that light and that life throughout the world. May God anoint each and every one of us to be instruments of that grace for our time and in this hour. I'd like to take a look today at the first reading we're given at Mass from St. John's letter, his first letter. I love those letters. By the way, there's three letters, and they're all just filled with so much clarity about who we are in Christ, what it means to follow Jesus. It's really a disciple teaching other disciples, teaching us how to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and to imitate the life of the apostles. Before I do, I just want to underline the important truth about the scripture itself. You know, there's no book like the Bible. This is the only book that is divinely inspired by God and communicates the mind and the heart of God for the sake of our salvation. Today we need, in the church, we need more and more of the baptized to be equipped to stand in the face of the onslaught against the faith, to equip and to strengthen. We need more and more of the baptized living with renewed minds, with great confidence and clarity about the truth that's been revealed, have laid hold of our identity together. And it's a time to stand and bear witness and be that light that we're called to be in the world. Too many people don't read the scripture. I think many of the baptized, the scripture still is a foreign land for them. And then even some who read the scripture don't have the conviction that it is revealing God's truth for salvation. And I wanted to just remind you, reading from a really important paragraph in a document on the scriptures from the Second Vatican Council called Dei Verbum. And it asserts very clearly what the church's understanding is of the uniqueness of the scripture. I just want to read it to you. It's from paragraph 11. So therefore, since everything asserted by the inspired authors or sacred writers must be held to be asserted by the Holy Spirit, it follows that the books of scripture must be acknowledged as teaching solidly, faithfully, and without error, that truth which God wanted put into sacred writings for the sake of salvation. Therefore, all scripture is divinely inspired and has as its use for teaching the truth and refuting error, for reformation of manners and discipline in right living, so that the man who belongs to God may be efficient and equipped for good work of every kind. The last part is a quote from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Let me just read the first half of that again a little more slowly. Therefore, since everything asserted by the inspired authors or sacred writers must be held to be asserted by the Holy Spirit. So this scripture that we read is literally asserted by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. This is a communication from God. This word is God-breathed. And as a result, the paragraph goes on, it says, it follows that the books of Scripture must be acknowledged as teaching solidly, faithfully, and without error that truth which God wanted to put into the sacred writings for the sake of salvation. What we need to know for salvation is communicated here in the Word of God. And all the teaching of the church builds on this revelation, the teaching in the catechism, reflection in theology. It all flows from God's revelation in the scripture. Even our understanding and the unfolding of sacred tradition is profoundly influenced by the reality of this unique revelation. So I remember the words of Pope Benedict XVI that I've shared many times on the program, where he had a conviction that the secret to a new spiritual springtime for the church could be found in the daily reading of the Word of God by the faithful. He said that have each of the baptized take up the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God, to read it, to take it in. He used the very earthy image, an analogy about how a cow chews its cud, you know, a cow eats the grass, chews it, sucks all the juices out of it, swallows the juices, and then he swallows the cud and then later on regurgitates it again. It's kind of hard to hear this first thing in the morning, but regurgitates it again and begins to suck more juices out of it. He said, let that be an image of our reading the Word of God on a daily basis. Take time at the beginning of the day, or a time that works best for you, a quiet place. Take up the Scriptures, take up the daily readings, or read through the Gospels themselves, like, you know, a few paragraphs at a time, reflecting on the scenes that you're meditating on. And he said, then ask the Holy Spirit to help you see and understand the truth that the Holy Spirit asserted. The Holy Spirit is in you as a baptized person. The Holy Spirit has inspired this word, and it's the Holy Spirit that wants to make this word come alive. And it's a living word. It's a living word that will transform our lives. And this is Pope Benedict's point. He said, when we read this word, we come in contact with a person, the person of Jesus, and God the Father himself, speaking to us by means of the Holy Spirit. It's the special mission of the Spirit to reveal to every human heart the glory, majesty, and life and person of Jesus. That's the heart of what happens in prayer. That's the heart of what happens when we read God's word. And so the Holy Spirit wants to assist us. And Pope Benedict's point is that the more the word of God lays hold of us, washes over us, cleanses our mind and heart, strengthening us, renewing the mind, the stronger we become, the more capable we are of imitating Christ and following the footsteps of the apostles. And of course, the more capable we are and enabled by the Holy Spirit to fulfill the mission that the Lord has sent us to. So the Scripture reveals to us that reality, the truths that God desires us to know for the sake of our salvation. And so it's taught solidly, faithfully, and without error, is what the Council taught. And so when you take this up, you take up the Scripture, you can trust the Word of God. You can trust its power to lead you in the footsteps of Jesus, and to help you renew your mind. So let's go to today's reading. It's taken from the third chapter of John's first letter. It says, Beloved, we receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and we do what pleases him. I love to just hear John addresses those he's writing as beloved. It's who we are. All those who are baptized into Christ, we are beloved children of God. He speaks with such affection. He also knows it and experiences it at a very deep level. He knew Jesus so personally, but he also understands, because he himself is now living in a way, even when he was with Jesus, wasn't fully there, a fuller life in the Holy Spirit that was poured out upon him on the day of Pentecost, and living more intimately with Jesus on a day-to-day basis. And he said, we receive from him whatever we ask if we pray according to the will of God. Why? Because we keep his commandments and we do what pleases him. What does the life of a disciple look like? It's pretty simple. We keep his commandments, and we do what pleases him. Now, sometimes when people hear, keep his commandments, the almost instinctive reaction is to think about Catholicism and Christianity as a matter of following rules. External rules, external commandments. It's kind of impersonal. I've got to follow them. I've got to kind of submit my will to them. But it misses a point, the central point, really, when people look at it that way. Because what John is talking about here, we keep his commandments and we do what pleases him. First of all, the commandments are love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the central commandments. Jesus called them the first and the greatest. And a Christian is not somebody who simply by his own willpower or her own willpower are taking up the list of commandments and doing them. What we know, and what we know from Revelation itself, especially from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, is that the commandments which were meant for our good, to be a light to our path, now become, apart from Christ, a light that shines within us and reveals the truth that we don't follow the commandments. First commandment, as I said, is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. How many people do that? The commandments that are meant for good end up condemning us, and we're like put under a curse, Paul describes, because we can't fill the commandments full because of the condition of our heart, because of the work of the flesh within us, that desire within me to put myself first. My will be done, not God's will be done. My pleasure first, or what pleases me first, or my comfort first, and not my neighbor. Securing everything for myself and living with a very big ego, right? The fallen human nature is ego-centered. It's not God-centered and other-centered naturally. When the apostles talk about following the commandments, they mean literally following the commandments, but it's done out of not sheer willpower of a fallen nature, but it comes from the new nature. It comes from the work and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us. The Holy Spirit is, St. Thomas Aquinas described, and churches understood, the Holy Spirit himself is the new law. The Old Testament prophetic word, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others, is very clear. It was pointing toward the coming of the Messiah, the plan and purpose of God, which included at its core the promise to not only reveal God's commandments on external, like 10 commandments, right? But that God would give us, that he would give us a new heart, that he would give us ultimately the heart of Jesus, the beloved Son. He would give us a new power and a new capacity to see God, to love God, to respond to God, and to have transformed lives internally and hearts that seek to love. And a heart that seeks to love God from within, not just conforming to external commandments or checking off lists or focusing on our life as if it's all a matter of managing our sin and on our own willpower, getting where we need to go. Willpower is part of it. We participate. But it moves from within. God the Father, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, which comes to us in his Son. It's a work of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit within us. The Spirit helps us have a divine affection, a filial affection for God. And then from that position of love, of trust, we desire to do God's commands. It's not just an external imposition on us. So he says, we keep his commandments and we do what pleases him. He's echoing the words of St. Paul as well, right? St. Paul said, we make it our aim now to please the Lord. That's a very simple way to describe what a disciple is like. The heart of a disciple. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Well, what it means to be a follower of Jesus is that I have set my whole heart by his grace and by his help. I've set my heart on him. And what I want to do with my whole life is I want to do what pleases him. Whatever walk of life I'm in, whatever vocation I've chosen that he's led me into, the bottom line is I want to serve him. John goes on to say, and his commandment is this, we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit whom he gave us. It's a distinctive characteristic of the Christian life to be moved from the heart, from within, by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so it's from the Spirit who, as I said, is the new law within the human heart that's a power at work in us, moving with the affection of Jesus, literally, like the work of Jesus in us, directing our hearts toward the Father. Brothers and sisters, that's the great gift. That's what's at the core of our life. And that's how we can, with Jesus' help, literally fill the law full to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.